This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Not in the name of the Most High.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وعظيمنا وقائدنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, those who are at Tayyum Aysana, and alhamdulillah, I'm very happy to see the brothers and sisters here attending at Tayyum Aysana. And those who are with us online, I welcome every single one of you to this seerah, the series of the seerah and the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this great biography of this great man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created, the greatest man to ever tread this earth, alayhi salatu wasalam, the greatest man to ever exist on the face of this planet, and in the universe, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had described to be a mercy, and the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow anyone to enter the Jannah before him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we mentioned before, the purpose of the seerah and the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not just a storytelling for us to entertain ourselves and enjoy the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also the primary purpose of the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is for us to connect ourselves to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and learn more about the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. So we love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and when we love the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam, we will obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we will follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, inshaAllah we'll live like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to die on the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to be resurrected with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to enter the Jannah with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we're still talking about the early days of the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which we started speaking about the pre-Islamic and the pre-birth era of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we mentioned a bit about the culture of the Arabs, we spoke about the demographics in the Arabian Peninsula, we spoke about different aspects and elements with regards of the Arabian Peninsula, just paving and preparing the way for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's birth. And we said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam descends from the most noblest lineage, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam even makes mention of that. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ancestries, if you go back all the way, just generations behind the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, all the way to Ismail and Ibrahim alayhi wasalam. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam is an offspring of great prophets and messengers. Yes, there's a big gap between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam and his forefather Ismail alayhi salam, who is the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and who is also the father of Ishaq. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam eventually ends up to be a son of the greatest prophet and messenger after him, Ibrahim alayhi as-salam. And we spoke about his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. And Abdul Muttalib had 10 boys and 6 girls. 10 boys, 10 sons, and 6 girls, 6 daughters. And Abdul Muttalib was the chief of the people of Quraysh. And we mentioned the name of that tribe that resided and inhabited Mecca. It was called Quraysh. So Quraysh is the name of the tribe that lived in Mecca. And Mecca is the city that Quraysh had lived in. And the chief of Quraysh was Abdul Muttalib. He's the grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was the one that had 10 boys and 6 girls. And one of them is Abdullah. Abdullah is the youngest son of Abdul Muttalib. And we spoke a few things about Abdul Muttalib, his events, his event with Abraha al-Habashi, the story that we spoke about, the story of the elephants, and we spoke about his story of him uncovering and discovering the well of Zamzam, and we spoke about him intending to slaughter his son Abdullah because he made an oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him 10 boys, 10 strong boys that will empower him and strengthen him. He will slaughter one of them. And subhanAllah, looks like it shows you how deviant they used to be in their distorted minds. Not in their character, and just in their ideology. You go and slaughter one of your children if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you 10 kids. Subhanallah. We spoke about that story, but now we're going to be talking about the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father, his name is Abdullah, which makes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's full name is محمد ابن عبد الله ابن عبد المطلب ابن هاشم ابن عبد مناف. But anyway, stick to the first three. Stick to the first three. Muhammad, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib. So that's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's background. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born from father by the name of Abdullah and a mother by the name of Amina. After the story that we mentioned to you last week, in which Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, was about to be slaughtered. So Abdul Muttalib attempted to slaughter Abdullah because the lot came on him and he needed to fulfill his vow and promise. And then he went to this fortune teller and a sorcerer, a magician, and she told him to make a lot against 10 camels every time the name of Abdullah pops up, or every time the lot comes with the name of Abdullah, slaughter 10 camels. We've spoken about the story until it became 100 camels, and then he was saved. And you know, this entire distorted ideology that subhanallah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Islam. After the incident, after Abdul Muttalib managed to protect and preserve Abdullah because he was about to slaughter him, Abdullah was the most favorable son to Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib used to love Abdullah the most out of all his sons. And his other brothers used to see that, but because he was the youngest, there wasn't much jealousy. Usually, if there are five boys or there are five boys from one father, the first two, three, they'll get jealous from each other if the father favors one over the other. But the youngest one is always the spoiled one, you know, that's the one that gets away with everything. Abdullah was the youngest one amongst them, and he was loved not only by his father, even by his brothers. So much so that his own brothers asked their father, Abdul Muttalib, to slaughter some of them in return of protecting Abdullah. That's how much they used to love Abdullah. After that event, and after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Abdullah, of course, not his father, but Abdul Muttalib managed to safeguard and protect Abdullah. He wanted to celebrate that moment. And that celebration was for him to get him married to one of the most noble women in Mecca. And that was years after that. So by the age where Abdullah was about 18, 19, according to some of the narrations, his father managed to speak to one of the leaders of Quraysh by the name of Wahb. And he was a leader of one of the prominent tribes in Mecca. And he had a daughter by the name of Amina. So Abdul Muttalib went and asked for the hand of Amina for his son Abdullah. And Amina was a very respectful young woman, that she comes also from a respectful family. And you know, those things back then, they played a huge role in their life. These days, people don't really care even the family name they even belong to. No one really cares. She likes him and he likes her. Even if everyone else don't like them, they're still going to get married. Back then, it was tribal. And I want you, every time you listen to this lecture, I want you to live just during the lesson with a mind of tribalism. Outside this lesson, please throw it aside so you could understand. Because sometimes you want to understand the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how the Arabs used to live and how they used to react and how they used to conduct themselves until you understand their mindset. So tribalism was embedded in their lives. Their primary religion, yes, it was paganism, in which they worship in idols, but their main law was tribalism. And these sort of things that you pick up from the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was one of the missions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, to break down tribalism, to destroy tribalism. Because we are bound by the sharia, we are bound by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, our code of conduct, and our morals and ethics are bound to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, not wallahi what my family wants me to do and what my culture wants me to do, this and that. And obviously part of our faith and part of our code of conduct, part of our sharia, is obviously to abide by the laws of the country that you live in. But back then, they were bound by the tribalism. They were so tribal. And you know, when we talk about tribalism, it's beyond what you could even conceive sometimes. The tribalism, it's beyond the joke sometimes. Their tribalism, yes, it had some good aspects in it, but it also had a lot of bad aspects that the sharia came and broke it all down. And now we are bound by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do. So now Abdullah is being saved. He's been salvaged. And Abdul Muttalib goes and asks for the hand of one of the most noble women from the most noble tribe, Amina bint Wahab. And now Abdullah and Amina get married. Abdullah was early 19, 20 years old. And always remember, any time that we talk about age, years, months, we always go back to the lunar year. We're not talking about the solar year. So the lunar year is always 10 days less than the solar years. Abdullah and Amina get married. Abdullah comes from a respectful family and Amina is also from a respectful family, which is also paving the way for the most respectful man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Those things play a big role. Where someone is coming out, he's emerging, he's calling people for goodness, and then, but your mom and dad, you want to tell us about your mom? We know who your mom and dad are. That plays a big role. It does play a big role in the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or the da'wah of anyone. When your parents are corrupt or mischievous, and this person is trying to advocate, or this person is trying to promote something, it influences their da'wah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chosen the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam from two noble parents, Abdullah and Amina, who both come from noble families. Who both come from noble families that helped the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where people come point a finger and say, this guy's a nomad. He's a gypsy and he's just trying to change his style, or he's trying to achieve something, or he's trying to benefit, or he's trying to retaliate over the rich people. These guys are coming from the lowest class of the community, and that's why it's a reaction, and that's why Muhammad is calling for something new. No. None of those things were pinpointed on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or none of those blames were pointed at the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes from two noble parents, and he comes from a very noble family. They were the chiefs of the people of Quraysh, which contributed to the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After Abdullah and Amila got married, Abdullah was sent on a task by his father to Yathrib. What's Yathrib? Yathrib is what we know as Medina. Before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, Medina was called Yathrib. And it was a long-standing city, thousands of years. Some of the scholars even say as old as Mecca. So it's an old city. Arabs that were living in Yathrib, and different tribes, in particular Aws and Khazraj, that were living in Yathrib. Abdullah was sent on a task to go to Yathrib and pick up some dates. They used to exchange business, go and pick up a few things and come back. When he went to Yathrib, Abdullah passed away. That's the father of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Abdullah left Mecca, his wife was pregnant, Amina. And Abdullah traveled to Yathrib on a business trip. And some narrations say he went to go and see his uncles, because his mother, she was from Yathrib. But he went on a trip from Mecca to Yathrib. He arrived to Yathrib, got ill when he was 21 years old, or roughly around those years. So not everything's 100% precise, but roughly around the age. And he passed away. He passed away with a wife, a widow that was pregnant. 2 months after that, that widow wife, her name is Amina, gives birth to the greatest man to ever be born, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born 2 months after the death of his father. Some narrations say he was born two months after the death of his father, and some narrations say that his father passed away 2 months after his birth. Regardless, 2 months before his birth or 2 months after his birth, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born as an orphan. And Islamically, and the Arabs refer to a person as an orphan if he lost the father, or he lost his father, not lost the mother. Because the household is more dependent on the father than the mother. Yes, the mother gives you that emotion, and gives you that love and care and that protection. We understand that. It's not like this is undermining the role of the mother. But when it comes to provision and when it comes to responsibility, the father is the one that takes that. Back then, in particular those times. So they refer to a yatim when someone lost his father. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, and let's go with the majority narration in which they say the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born 2 months after the death of his father Abdullah. When Amina, the mother of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, delivered birth to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was early morning on Monday, the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, which is the third month in the Islamic calendar. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born on Monday. That's 100% verified. Who verified that? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. On the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, that's where most of the scholars say. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast on Mondays, and he said, I fast on Mondays because of a number of reasons. And one of them is because I was born on Monday. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born on Monday, the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, 2 months after the death of his father, and about 3 months or less after the elephant's event, Abraha. That's why they say the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in the year of the elephant. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was born in Mecca. And after his mother gave birth to him, which is the greatest birth ever to emerge during that time, before that time, to the day of judgment, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest man to ever be born, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, the news reached his grandfather Abdul Muttalib. So Abdul Muttalib ran and took Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a baby without a name and took him to the Kaaba, and he performed tawaf. Who's that? Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the father is dead. So he went around the Kaaba thanking Allah, because they used to believe in Allah. Their problem was not believing one God. The bigger problem was worshipping more than one God. They used to believe that worshipping more than one God would connect them to the main God. So Abdul Muttalib took the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the very moment that he was born, and he took him to the Kaaba, because they used to live next to the Kaaba. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's birthplace is not even 300 or 400 meters away from the Kaaba, and went straight to the Kaaba, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing. And then he named him Muhammad. He named him Muhammad. And this specific name, Muhammad, was uncommon. Rarely the Arabs used to name Muhammad. For what reason? Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in his heart, his mind. Allah inspired him in one way or another. He just decided Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was named Muhammad. And what does the word Muhammad mean? Someone that constantly praises Allah. Muhammad, Ahmad, Mahmud. Mahmud is someone that's been praised. And that's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ahmad is someone that praises Allah and being praised. And Muhammad is the one that's been praised and praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abdul Muttalib, out of joy and happiness, he went and performed tawaf around the Kaaba and named the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as Muhammad. And his mother, obviously, she breastfed him. But there was another culture amongst the people of Quraysh. The culture amongst the people of Quraysh, that whenever they had a newborn, they used to send this newborn out to the Bedouins, out to the desert, to the plains, to toughen them up, to become immune. Because you know, when you're out there and from the very beginning you become tough, and to teach them the Arabic language. That was their culture. So whenever they used to have a newborn, they used to send them out to the plains, let them live with the Bedouins, let them toughen up, become more immune, let them understand the Arabic language, because the Bedouins back then, their Arabic language was more eloquent than those that used to reside and live in the city. So that was the culture amongst the people of Quraysh. And that was something that Abdul Muttalib and his mother Amina, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mother, that's what they wanted to implement. That's what they wanted to see happening to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what Bedouins will do from time to time, the Bedouins will come to Mecca. They had this season where they come to Mecca every month, every second month, third month, whatever it is. They'll come to Mecca and pick up children, and they used to get paid for it. So the Bedouins, who are considered to be poorer than those that live in the city. Their income was getting paid by taking care of the children and the babies that the people of the city who are richer, they used to give them, and they used to go with them to the Bedouins and the plains. Now, obviously, if I'm coming to earn an income, I want a benefit out of this baby. If I'm going to know that this child's father is dead, that's not going to encourage me. It's not an enticing business and transaction for me, because I'm coming to pick up this child for the purpose of making money. Yes, this child wants to benefit from me, wants to benefit from my environment, wants to benefit from my language, wants to benefit from my Bedouin lifestyle, but I want to get paid for that too. So if I'm going to come and pick up a child that's an orphan, what's the possibility that I'm going to get paid? So Bani Sa'd, they were like more of a tribe living in the Bedouin. And it's like they had this custom where they come to Mecca, and the people of Mecca used to trust them. They come and pick up their children, take them to their plains, take them to their Bedouin, take them to the desert, and they used to get paid for it. So at that time, Bani Sa'd came to Mecca, and they were aiming to pick up children, get paid for them, and go. One of the people that came with Bani Sa'd is the very well known mother, or if you want to call her foster mother, of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Halima al-Sa'di. Her name is Halima bint Abi Dhu'ayb. She was amongst a group of women who came from Bani Sa'd to Mecca to pick up children, new children, and take them back to their land and their territory, and get paid for it. So every single woman that came and saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then asked about his father, they were told he was dead, they just turned away from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They weren't interested, because they knew, I want to get paid. How am I going to get paid from an orphan kid? And Halima Sa'di was one of those that saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and turned her back on the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam at the very beginning, because he's an orphan. I want to get paid. I want to financially benefit. Well, what benefit am I going to get out of an orphan kid? But then she was looking for another child for her to take. Every other woman that came with her from Bani Sa'd managed to pick up a child or pick up a baby except her. So she was talking to her husband, and she was saying to him, like, you know, what an embarrassment. Every other woman that came with us from a town or from a desert or from our Bedouin or from our place had managed to pick up a baby except us. So what, we're going to return empty-handed? And then she consulted the husband and she said, what do you think we get to this orphan kid? Maybe Allah will bless us just because of a good gesture, or maybe because of a good thing. Look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the very beginning, the challenge. And I want you just to look at it from different angles. It was a challenge upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the very beginning. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was isolated because of this. He's an orphan. Who wants to deal with an orphan? So Halima Sa'di felt bad because of two reasons. She felt bad over the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an orphan, and at the same time she felt embarrassed that everyone else that came with her from her town returned with a baby except her. So she consulted her husband, and then decided to go and pick up the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she took the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started from that very moment. And let Halima narrate. She says, we slept that night in Mecca, and my breast was empty, and I had my own son. The moment I carried Muhammad, Allah blessed my breast with milk. Subhanallah. Not only that, Muhammad suckled from it, even my other son suckled from it. And we have not slept a proper night for many nights because of our son. But that night, Muhammad and my son slept the best night and allowed us to sleep the best night. She's talking about his Sophia. The next day, they traveled from Mecca to their place, to their residence. She came from her residence to Mecca on a female donkey. You know how to call it in English, but I'm not going to use that name. Okay, a female donkey. She traveled on a female donkey from her residence to Mecca. Her female donkey was the oldest donkey out of all the other donkeys on rides that she was always behind. She was always lagging behind. When she picked up the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam returning back home, her donkey was always at the forefront. She's saying that even my friends are saying, did you change your ride? Did you buy something new? And she's saying, wallah, it's the same donkey that I came with from home to Mecca, I'm returning back home with. The blessing. And she says, upon her arrival back home, it was during a drought. People were struggling in finding water, and our herd was also struggling in finding water and grass. People used to avoid coming near our home because in particular our home was the driest. Upon the arrival of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah blessed our land with a lot of grass, with a lot of food for our herd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed our land with plants and crops. So my husband turns around and tells me, see, this child was a blessing from Allah. How old is Muhammad? Only days old, maybe months old. The blessing of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already appeared. The marks of the blessing of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were already there because he's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why my brothers and my sisters, I want you to pay attention to this. Every Prophet messenger comes with a miracle. And the miracles come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the prophets and messengers to strengthen and empower their message. I am the messenger of Allah, and these are the commands from Allah. Proof it to us, the proof is miracle. And that's why within the stories of the prophets and messengers, you realize every prophet and messenger came with a miracle. Miracles came to consolidate, to empower, to make and show proof and evidence that this prophet and messenger is the prophet and messenger from Allah. We call them miracles before prophecy. But a lot of prophets also, miracles appeared on their hands before the prophecy. So we've understood that a miracle, a mu'jiza, is a miracle that appears on the hands of a prophet to empower his message, a proven evidence of his message. What about a miracle that appears on a prophet, a messenger before the prophecy? What do we call it? We call it irhas, which means a sign and an indication of his prophecy. So Isa alayhi salam, when he spoke before, he was a prophet and messenger because you have to reach the age of puberty for you to be a prophet and messenger. When he spoke when he was a baby and only a few days old, it's a miracle. But this type of miracle is preparation for the prophecy. When they become prophets, it's not preparation for the prophecy, it's an empowerment of the prophecy. It's proven evidence of the prophecy. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the very beginning, miracles start to appear from the very beginning. And the very moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him into this world, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Halima al-Sa'diyya narrates and she talks about the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed her, her family, her ground, even her own. She speaks about her own goat and herd, where they were so dry, there was no milk in the udder of their goat. But the very moment the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived to her home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with the milk. Allah blessed him with the farm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with the grass. And Allah blessed him with the food. And Allah blessed him and blessed him and blessed him. And usually they keep the children for 2 years. They usually keep the children. They toughen them up. And obviously the parents will come and visit them. They'll come to their parents. But they'll keep those babies for 2 years in the farm to strengthen them or to keep them in the bedouin, like in the desert. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed 2 years, his mother Amina came to pick him up. Halima insisted that she keeps him. She didn't want to let go. Usually after 2 years, I'd say, Allah ma'ak, ruh. You know, we can't even handle our own kids. Let alone have other people's kids. But Halima Sa'di was so attached to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she won't even let go. Amina, the mother of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, want to come pick him up. And Halima insists, keep him with me, please. Another 2 weeks. No, please. And then, you know, she's trying to persuade his mother. Oh, if he goes to Mecca, Mecca is too, it's a city style, it's a city life. And I fear on Muhammad. And Muhammad is this. And Muhammad, leave him with me. Toughen him up more, this and that. You need him, this and that. At the end, Amina was convinced. And she kept him there for another 2 years. But the reason that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned back to his mother, not because his time was over. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 4 years old, and some narrations say 5, somewhere around, again. While the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was playing with his stepbrothers, other children from other parents, in particular, Halima al-Sa'diyya and her husband. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 4 or 5 years old who was playing. And while the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was playing, 2 strange men appeared. Wearing what garments? One of them stood in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam while the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is playing with his other brother. And he said, is that him? The other one replied and said, yes, it is him. So they took the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by force and took him behind the mountain. Who's watching that? His foster brother, the son of Halima. He ran back to his mother, petrified, saying, Mom, my brother Muhammad has been taken by two strange men. Where was the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taken? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was taken behind a mountain or a hill by two strange men. Those two strange men were two angels sent by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala on a mission, on a task. What was the task? Open the chest of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, take his heart out, and from his heart you take a black morsel. You take a black part and wash his heart in a pot made out of gold with zamzam and put it back in the chest of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's exactly what they did. Now obviously when you think about it, let's do it. Allah, brother, come here. Let's open your heart and chest. We're going to open your heart and chest, but you're not going to stay alive. But this is the miraculous action that took place on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those two strange men opened the heart of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took his heart out, took this piece of black spot, which is considered to be the luck of the shaitan or the portion of the shaitan, washed the heart of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a golden pot with zamzam, and then put it back in the chest of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and let go. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned back home panicked. What happened to you, O Muhammad? And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the story to who? To Halima. Now Halima knows, you know, when you've got sons, when you have kids of your own, you know when they lie, when they don't lie. She knows Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she's been dealing with him, like even though he's a boy, but she knows, you know, you pick up on those things. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned, pale, yellow face, panicked, petrified. He returns back home. Which home? Halima Saadi, his foster mother. And she asks him, what happened to you? We were looking for you. He said, those two men took me, opened my chest, did that. Halima knew him, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even though he's only 5 years old, he wasn't lying. So she became very concerned. That's when she returned him back to his mother, Amina. Amina picked up. You want me to take my son back? A few years back, he was so adamant and persistent that he wanted to keep him. Why do you want me to take him back right now? And Amina said, Halima said, it's time is over, this and that, it's time for him to come back to Mecca. Amina said, Halima, be open with me. This is not you. You were fighting over him a few months back, a few years back. Now you want to return him back? And Halima said, no, this and that. Amina told her, Are you afraid of my son? You concerned? And that's when Halima gave in. And she told her the story. And Amina said, by Allah, I know that my son will have a high and honorable status in the future. And there's some narrations that say, that Halima, Amina, the mother of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, told Halima, when I gave birth to him, I saw this coming out and I saw this coming out. None of this is 100% authenticated and verified. But obviously Amina, the mother of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, can see a future for her son. And Halima also saw that. But when Halima experience what happened to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she returned the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam back. And that's one of the miracles that took place upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at a young age, where his heart was open, his heart came out, it was taken out, a portion of it was taken out, which is the luck of the shaitan, it was washed with zamzam and put back in. What does that tell you? Do you think that's an event that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had forgotten? You will never ever forget an event like this. I remember, I still got it here. I got poked when I was 5 years old. I got poked by a nail. We were playing in the park. Somewhere here, I don't know. I can't forget. Somewhere in Bankstown, anyway. Okay? I will never forget that event. You will never forget things like that. 4 or 5 years old, you know, something, you know, an accident or something poked you or something. A nail went inside your hand. You never forget. Do you think the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had ever forgotten that event? No way he'll ever forget an event like that. But what's that? That's preparation for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Preparation for what? For the great mission. What is it? To be the merciful man that Allah sends to be, the Prophet and the Messenger of mankind sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi returned back to Mecca, and now he's in the care of his mother, Amina, and his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. It was only months after that, his mother passed away. When the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi was 6, he lost his mom. So now not only that he lost his dad and his mom. He lost his father and mother. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is orphaned from all sides. Then the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi became in the care of his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib loved the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more than any other son, more than any other grandfather. Abdul Muttalib loved the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He loved him so much. To the extent that Abdul Muttalib was the chief of the people of Quraysh. And he used to have this tent next to the Kaaba. And he used to have this little podium or mattress that he sit on. No one is allowed to get on it because he's like the chief. And everyone else, including his sons, would just sit around him. And no one dares to go on that mattress. No one dares to go on that little podium. And even when that goes on, his particular kids, they used to reprimand them. And Abdul Muttalib used to reprimand them himself. Except Muhammad. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was 6 or 7 years old. He used to jump on the mattress of his grandfather. His uncles will come to reprimand him. What are you doing? You should not be doing this. This is rude. This is unacceptable. This is that. And Abdul Muttalib would say, no one touch Muhammad. By Allah, my son has a future. He used to say that. I could see my son having an honorable future. But what about the other sons? What about the other grandchildren? No. This one is special. This one is special. This one, no one touch. By Allah, he used to refer to him as my son. Because he is. He's his grandson, but he's my son. By Allah, my son Muhammad has an honorable future. No one touch him. He used to sit where his grandfather, who's the chief of the people of Quraysh, used to sit. And he used to always keep him close. Subhanallah. It was only 2 years after the death of his mother, his grandfather passed away. Abdul Muttalib. So he lost his father first, then his mother, and now his grandfather. From all angles, from all ways. And now he's left without a mother, without a father, without a grandfather. So he became under the care of Abu Talib, his uncle. Abu Talib wasn't the oldest. He was from amongst the youngest. He was from amongst the young 10 sons of Abdul Muttalib. But Abu Talib embraced the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and treated him of his own. That's something the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never ever had forgotten and never stopped talking about. How Abu Talib took in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and treated him as one of his own children, if not even more. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam now grows in the care of his uncle Abu Talib. And Abu Talib, after the death of his father, Abdul Muttalib, Abu Talib became one of the chiefs of the people of Quraysh. So you could imagine, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, still within that circle of honorable people. Yes, not honorable beliefs, by the way, honorable people. And now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam moves in the care of his uncle, Abu Talib. His uncle, Abu Talib, took care of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so much. His uncle, Abu Talib, was so protective of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even made Abu Talib see miracles appear on the hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So great, so amazing. We'll talk about it next week, inshaAllah. Jazakum Allah khair. May Allah reward you for listening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you. Subhanak Allah muhamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. With another episode, with another lesson on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam next Thursday at 7:50. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Jannah, every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah. It pious person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah.